Temura, Perek Zayin, Mishnah Dalet, 7-4. Since the previous Mishnah we said that a consecrated animal that dies must be buried, we're going to now talk about other things which must be buried. Now, according to the Bartanura and most, what's happening here is these things are Aser Bahana, can't get benefit from them, and therefore, Midrabanan, you're required to bury them because essentially what else are you going to do with them? That's a rabbinic requirement, and therefore there's some latitude on like other alternatives of what to do with it. The Rambam seems to learn it's a halacha Moshe Messina that requires them to be buried. In any case, here is that list. Ve'elu hen hanikbarim, the following items must be buried. Again, midrabanan, because they're asur bahana, to get benefit from them. Kachim she'pilu yikaveru. First of all, if you have a consecrated animal, let's say you consecrate a sheep to be a shlamim, and now the sheep has a miscarriage, and it like aborts a baby. So that aborted fetus, which is, you know, dead, that has the same status as the mother, as being essentially kachim, but it can't be offered, of course. So like a consecrated animal that dies, it can't be offered, it must be buried, so too must the miscarried animal be buried. Hipila shilia tikaber, same goes if we don't find an actual fetus that was aborted, just miscarried a shilia. A shilia is the amniotic sac in which a fetus usually grows. So the Chazal have a principle, which is that ein shilia, you're not going to have the development of an amniotic sac inside of the a mother, unless there's also a vlad, below vlad, some fetus growing here as well. And therefore, we don't know what happened to the fetus. Maybe it dissolved or something. But the point is that the sac needs to be buried. Shor haniskal. Shor haniskal is an ox that has to be executed. But if there's any animal which kills, you know, kills a person, and then essentially there's a formal trial, and two witnesses confirm that the animal did kill this person. There's a Gemara and Mishnah that talks about it being even like a rooster that pecked the baby's head and the baby died. But the point is, animal that's condemned to die. So the carcass of the animal after it's been killed must be buried. You can't get benefit from it. The Egla Rufa. Egla Rufa, you recall, from the Nesota, that's the story of the calf. In a scenario where you have you find a dead body in Eretz Yisrael, you don't know how it got here, who killed him. So the elders of the closest city go there. They take an eagle, a calf, to a Nachal Eson, whatever that means exactly, like a unplowed or hard or wadi river bed, whatever it is. And they essentially, oref, they decapitate that calf. They wash their hands over there, and they say that essentially they weren't responsible for the death of this person who died. That calf, which has been decapitated, is Aser Bahana and must be buried. That's the idea of the Igla Ruf being buried. Also, Tzipori Mitzora, the birds that are used for Mitzora. The case here is a person who has Tzaras is the Mitzora at the end of his process when he heals. It's like a multi-step purification process. The first stage essentially involves taking two Tzipori drawer, kind of wild birds. One of them is slaughtered, and like the blood goes into from the dead animal into the container holding spring water, and then that mixture of water, spring water, and blood is like kind of spritzed on the mitzora. The spritzing is done with also you dip the second living bird into the water blood mixture, and that spritzes that's used to sort of spritz onto the mitzora who's getting purified, and then that living bird is released to fly away and chased out of town. So we're saying here that the bird that was slaughtered to purify a mitzora, that bird must be buried. It's Aser Bahana. Although the Mishnah here says Tziporei mitzora, which is plural, mitzora birds, we're not referring to the two birds that are used in the process, because the second bird that flies away is actually, if somehow you catch it later on, it's not Aser Bahana. We're talking about all the birds in the plural that are used to purify mitzoras that are slaughtered for the process. Those birds are Aser Bahana. Then you have Usa'ar Nazir, the hair of a Nazir. So again, a Nazir is someone who commits essentially to refrain from grey products, to become exposed to corpse tumas mace, and also to cut his hair. So if in the middle of the process he becomes, when he completes his process, what happens is essentially he has a kind of procedure which involves shaving all his hair, and that shaved hair is actually put in a fire that's like on which the pot that's cooking his shlamim, it's burned under that pot. But if, so that's where the share would go. But if he gets tameh, so it's a corpse tumas mace, in the middle of the process and has to start again, so part of the procedure involves that he essentially shaves his hair and starts again. When you shave his hair, what do you do with that shorn hair? There's no pot, there's no shlamim yet. Okay, he didn't finish his the zera successfully. So that shaved hair is asur b'hana, and therefore must be buried. Upeter chamor, says the Mishnah, the firstborn male donkey. So like we learned Maseches Bechoros not long ago, a donkey that has its first, it's peter rechem, it's a first issue. If it's a male, that must be redeemed with a seh, with a goat or sheep. If it's not, if the person says, I don't want to give a goat or sheep, I just, I'm not prepared to do that process, so then the firstborn donkey must be also decapitated. The asur b'hana, same ways. Basically, there's a gzer sheva that connects the egla rufa to the petach hamor, rifa. At least that's how Rishim learns. Rishim learns it's actually just asur b'hana all the way until you redeem it. So it stays asur b'hana however it was. The bottom line is, therefore, you have now this decapitated donkey. You have to bury it. Can't get benefit from it. Ubasar b'chalav, and also meat cooked with milk. Just speaking out for a second, people often think that basar v'chalav is the two words basar and v with a vav chalav, like milk, meat and milk. That's not correct. It's basar b'chalav with a base. It means like milk, excuse me, it means like meat in milk. And the idea is that the Torah three times says, lo sevashel gedi b'chalev imo, you may not cook a kid, means a baby goat, in its mother's milk. The Torah says that three times. Chazon HaSin, the three times it says it are for three separate Isurim. One is the Isur just simply doing the cooking. Forget eating, just cooking it together. The second is the Isur of eating it. Milk and meat that have been cooked together have been Isur to consume, to eat. And the third time it says it is that it's even Isur b'hana, to get any economic benefit whatsoever from milk and meat cooked together, which means if you have, I don't know, what milk and meat cooked, you can't feed it to your dog even, because then you're sort of saving money on buying kibble for the dog. So the point is you're getting benefit. So what can you do now with basar b'chalav, meat and milk that were cooked together? So we're talking here, just want to speak it out here. Basar b'chalav is only forbidden on a d'orais level if it was actually cooked together. If you just have a sandwich, we have a slice of roast beef and a slice of Swiss cheese and put on, between two pieces of bread and you eat it, you're only over isra d'rabbanan, okay? But if you cook them together in the oven, it becomes an isra d'oraisa, and at that point you'll have to benefit is forbidden, you must bury the basar b'chalav. The Rambam quotes all these things in the, it's in a Hilchos Psulim Mekdashim at the end there in the 19th parak, and basically kind of quotes this Mishnah more or less verbatim. The Shulchan Aruch, I could not find a place where it said that basar b'chalav must be buried. Okay, so I'm not sure exactly if that's required at all. As far as I know, it's just asur b'hana. And finally, v'chulin shenishchatu ba'azara, a non-consecrated animal which was slaughtered inside the Beis HaMikdash. It must be buried because asur b'hana. So the case here is something along the lines of, obviously if a person brings a cow and slaughters in the Beis HaMikdash, that'd be that same issue. But it could even happen that a person, realistically, walks to the Beis HaMikdash and he wants to do the shechita, he shechs the animal, and then they say, what was this? Did you consecrate ahead of time as an ola? And he says, no, I didn't do that. So then he didn't consecrate ahead of time as an ola, so it wasn't an ola. You have to pre-designated and stuff. So that would be an example of slaughtering chulin in the azara. So that's a lav, and it's asur b'hana. Now, Rabbi Shimon disagrees. Rabbi Shimon Omer, chulin shenishchtu ba'azara yisarefu. He holds, if you shecht chulin in the azara, it must be burned. Now, he agrees me'ikra din. It's only asur b'hana, no need to burn it, and it's a generic love. However, Shimon holds that there's an obvious confusion that could arise from this. If people see, someone bring a animal in, shechting it, and then it rendered invalid, and therefore they bury it, they might think that a korban that becomes pasul in the Beis HaMikdash is buried as opposed to burned. But the halacha is if you have an actual korban that becomes invalid, then the halacha is it must be burned in a special place, Beis HaSreifa, not just buried. Since this is confusing to any onlooker, of course, Reb Shimon holds that any animal that's slaughtered in the Beis HaMikdash, that's chulin, must be burned, not buried. The halacha does not follow him. However, the Mishnah continues to say, v'chein chaya shenishchata bazara. According to Reb Shimon, not only would a cow, goat, or sheep, which was not consecrated as a korban, which was shechted in the azara, need to be burned, midurabanan, but even something which is more far out, like for example, a chaya is a deer. God brings a deer into the Beis HaMikdash, and obviously deer can't be a korban. But if he shechts it in the Azara, then the deer must be burned. Not because, of course, it's an invalid korban. It's nothing. It's just chulin that was nishchat, slaughtered in the base of Mikdash on the Azara. But Rabbi Shimon says so that people shouldn't make a mistake and think that a pasul korban should be buried and not burned, when the requirement is that it must be burned. He requires that all chulin shenishchatu b'Azara must be burned. Again, halacha does not follow Rabbi Shimon.